Blog Talk Radio.
As if the faith that peaks and the lofty blue. I will
there comes a time when we heed a certain call, when the world must come together as one. There are people dying, oh, and it's time to lend a hand to life, the greatest gift of all. We can't go on pretending day by day that the world will soon make a change. We are part of God's great big family, and the truth, you know, love is all we need.
open eyes.
To the mountaintop. I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over, and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
I'm gonna make a change for once in my life. Gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turned up the collarbone, my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street with not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them need? I saw a disregard, a broken bottle tie.
Martin Luther King said the only way for us to come to power was to understand that we need to vote, but we need to vote for something. We need to not vote for the man because he's black or white. We want to vote them that's going to do something for the overhaul of the people. The miracles of Jesus, this is divine healing night. I want to talk about healing and deliverance tonight. And I want to tell you tonight, as we get ready to go, I was on my way going to see Sister Betty down on that, and then some people came up from Detroit, and I had to pray for them to see about them. Like every time I get ready to go see somebody, things happen. But I'm praying tonight for you, and you, it's lots going on in this world. And I want you to know that we'll come on every night from 9 to 10, 7 days a week. And on Mondays, Dr. King Movement. On Tuesday, Cosmos Ancestors, Divine Word of God. This is, and Saturday night is Divine Healing of God. It's Divine Healing Me from God. And on Friday, it's the $1 trillion flow. Now, I want to take this time out for you to might want to plant a seed in the ministry. Go to my website, theseedofabraham.com, and push the button to go down to PayPal. Now, if you want to go to my other, go to Cash Out and go to Money Sign Bishop TT, three T's, and hit it, and you can make a donation right away. And you need to plant a seed for your need. Now, some of you say, well, I'm doing all right. You can do much better. And I want to thank those that have planted seed in the ministry. I want those that have planted a seed and they got a harvest. And I want you to receive a harvest for what you want. Thank you, Brightstar, for your seed. You don't have to do it. Thank you. Thank you for your seed, Sister Netta. Thank you for your seed. See, when people seed to me, they tell me what their results. And I want to tell you, Sister Henrietta, thank you for your seed. See, my thing is this here. If you got a need, you plant a seed. When you plant that seed, you're going to receive a harvest. And we're going to pray and meditate. Tonight is divine healing. Let me say it again. Divine healing. And I want to talk about Jesus at 100, it's 127 miracles in the Bible. Jesus did 56 miracles in the Bible. And a miracle, you can't buy no miracle. A miracle come from God. The young lady called and said she was blind in one eye. And after she prayed, the next morning, I was clear up. The doctor wanted to do surgery. Miracle come from God. A divine healing come from God. A divine deliverance come from God. So anything divine coming from God, a divine word come from God. If I give you a divine message tonight, it's not from Bishop. It's from what God tell me to give you. And that's a divine word for your healing and for your deliverance. Miracles are being released. Can't no man buy, you can't get no miracle at the church. God choose who he want to have his miracles. Based, I say, based on your ancestors. And I want to talk about divine healing tonight anyway and miracles. Miracles are being released on those people that have made a covenant with God, that you have promised that you're going to walk with God through the rain, through the storm, through the flood. Right now, they never had snow in California. They got snow and flood in California, storm and earthquake all over the land, because the wages of sin is death. And the gift of God, eternal life. I want to talk about where we go from here and what we need to do from here. So what I'm saying to you tonight, after divine healing, I was listening to Dr. Martin Luther King, and he was talking about the moral of America. We want so much money that we sell our children. We sell dope, alcohol. We sell all kind of stuff in order to make that money. And I want to say to you tonight that all the silver, all the gold don't mean nothing if you ain't got the love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that we ever believe in this, and not perish, but have everlasting life. And I want you to get ready for tomorrow morning, which is Sunday. I'll be on from 11 to 12. And I got a message for you. From 11 to 12, the message is going to be that I'm going to give you tomorrow. I'm going to give you a message. People come in on that queue. I got a message just for you. It's designed not for your sister, not for you, for you. And I'm going to tell you what's going on with you right in your chair, wherever you might be. This message is just for you. So I want you to get ready to receive that message. The miracles, Jesus did 56 miracles. You know about the water, turned the water into wine. He fed 5,000 miracles, okay? Jesus did all that. But in the Bible, it's 121 miracles, if you read the whole Bible, that was miracles carried out. And miracle was directly from God. Revelation knowledge is directly from God. I'm going to show you, I'm getting revelation knowledge right now. Somebody being healed in their knees, around their kneecap. I'm getting revelation that somebody being healed in their right shoulder blade. God is healing that. I'm getting a healing in somebody. They got a little knot in their breast, but I see a divine healing taking place. So when the divine healing step in, the doctor can't tell you how it happened. The doctor said, keep doing what you're doing. But tonight, is divine healing night. I want to tell you, Bright Star, all is well. And I see a new building sitting on top of a mountain, up on a hill. And God's going to give you this building, and this building where you're going to serve his people. Liza, I'm praying for you, Liza. Liza, I see this summer thousands of people meeting as the gatekeeper, lives, I want you to get ready for a powerful move from God, Lord. And they're going to want you to speak all over the country. But I'm going to get with you and tell you what you have to do. It's snowing in Minnesota. And you say, here I come. Because the blood at the altar, the killing of all them innocent people is coming out. They got, right now, a girl called me and told me there would be another blizzard next week in Minnesota. There will be storms and floods and tornadoes. In my prophecy that I had prophesied, there will be storms back to back, repeat floods out in the coast, sighting of UFOs, sighting that men's going to see things and feel things. Great knowledge going to be given to you to heal cataracts and tumors, to heal cancer. God is getting ready to build up a men and women in order to walk with him. You know, it's so much of witchcraft going on. The lady was telling me down in Texas about her son. Lady in Baton Rouge about her son. A lady was talking about what happened to her son in Birmingham. It's so much of evil going on, but the wages of sin is death. The gift of God, eternal life. I'm talking about divine healing tonight. I'm talking somebody been having a problem with their eyes. God said he's going to heal that eye with their hearing. You don't need no hearing aid. God's going to heal you directly. If you just trust in God, God will heal you body, mind, soul, and spirit. But you got to give trust in God. Economic, somebody saying, my money, I decree a financial miracle breakthrough for every one of you that's here. But I want to ask you, is you willing to plant a seed? The widow woman planted a seed of two hoe cakes. And when the angel came to Abraham took a big meal and fed the angels. And I want to tell you tonight, God got a blessing with your name on it. But how are you going to get it if you don't trust body, mind, soul, and spirit? I'm praying for you, Carrie. You come in my vibration. Moses, I'm praying for you. And I want to tell you, young man in New York that called me, I want to tell you that there's some things going to be revealed. And when it be revealed, I'm up for you. I'm praying for you, Brother Calvin, who left the letter. I'm praying for you. Brother Raymond, I'm praying for you. Brother Tony, I'm praying for you. Brother Henry, I'm praying for you. Sam Harris up in Minnesota, all that snow. God still, you on the line. God still want to work with you. I share. So whatever clothes, God can open it up for you quick, fast, and everybody. I want you to get ready for God to bless you, surely. And I want to tell you, God can open up the door for you. And that door, that clothes can open up. I want to tell you, Sister Sherry down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, that sickness that's around your family is going to be all right. As I get revelation knowledge tonight, some of you have stopped. And you can't lie to God. You got to be honest with God and say, God, what is my assignment? The miracle that God gave you to give to somebody else. And I want to tell Sister Sherry up in Minnesota, get your catalog together for your songs. And you say, well, I need somebody to go with me, Bishop. No, God going to put somebody in your vibration. Might not be who you want for you to go from Texas to Minnesota, from Minnesota to Detroit, around the country. So get ready. Start getting your stuff together and stop complaining and say, God, any way you use me, God going to do it. In the spirit of Mother Annie Bacon tonight, I share. In the spirit of Mother Carrie Nunn, I share. In the spirit of Mother Rosie, I'm praying for those mothers that I see in the spirit realm that are ready to come to tell you doors open up for you. And I'm going to tell you tonight, as we get ready to tell you, get ready for a miracle being released for you. Somebody said, Bishop, I need a miracle. You got it. You have not because you ask not. You get ready. I want to invoke an angel Michael coming from Mars. Exodus 23:20, that's an angel coming. That angel going to, you got to listen to the angel. The angel going to give you knowledge on what you need to do. St. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God. That means that you seek the righteousness of God. If you're a much right woman, you're a much right man, you got to walk in the kingdom of God. What that mean? I want to break it. That means that you walk in the way of God. You give God the praise. You got, and whatever you need, this is what it said, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and all the other stuff. What other stuff it mean? The cars, the home, to relocate. He'll give it to you. But first, you walk like a queen in a kingdom. You walk like a king in the kingdom of God. And God will give you desires of your heart tonight. He will give you what you want. Genesis 13:2-3, he said that I'm going to bless who bless you. I'm going to curse who curse you. So if you're in the blessing business, God going to bless you where you can bless somebody else. Proverbs 4:22, I want you to get ready. Revelation 22:1, for God been to get ready to open up that new door for you. You said, I done tried by myself. I can't do it by myself. You got to let go and let God. Proverbs 13:20. And I want you to read Proverbs 13:2. The 23rd number Psalm, Mary, for the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But I want to tell you tonight, some of you have stopped serving God. You went AWOL. And tonight, I want to get you back in the arms of God. You wonder why you're sick, why you're nervous, or you can't sleep. You have not pleaded the blood of Almighty God. And I want to tell you, I seen Pearl only one time. I don't know what Pearl at now. But you got to stay in sync with God. Some people light still off. Some people ain't got no light. And some people are houses, their trees falling on their house. So I'm telling you tonight, God will bring you out. And God put you in the place for you to be financial, all right. And I want to tell you that y'all got computers now. You can look up anything I say. You can look it up. Look up Master Musa. Look up him. He was the richest man in the world. You talking about Tesla? This is the richest man in the world. And I want to tell you, I'm praying much for you, Brother Jerry William. I'm praying for you. I want to talk about the spiritual. Let me see what this said right here, where I can give it to you. It said, spiritual breakthrough prayer. The spiritual prayer to break the curses and the hexes that have been sent out. You know, to break the witchcraft, the magic, the jinx, all of that on you. You don't know how come it get on you. And demons come and bother you where you can't sleep at night. And you get up all times of night and you don't know why, because different spirits come up with you. And I'm praying this young lady, since she lost her son, God will bring the truth out. And the young lady said, I want to know, Bishop, who shot my nephew? His best friend did it. Check that out. And somebody want to know, is my daughter missing? Where she at? And I'm going to tell you tonight, I see her and she's not dead. She ran away with an older gentleman. That will come out for this year out of shell shape. It's some witchcraft been done, and it's going to reverse. And people have gotten married, people in love because they put their love spell, but it's going to be broken by the power of the Almighty God. So I want you to get ready for God to bless you. This evening, I want to talk about your breakthrough, and I want to talk about the more character, the more of you. Now, you can give somebody this number, 515-605-9890, and tell them to call in because I got a message for them Sunday. Whoever comes Sunday, I got a message for you Sunday. I got a financial message for you Sunday, and I got a message for you for your healing. Whatever healing, Sunday morning from 11 to 12, I'm giving it out. And I'm going to tell you, I want you to get ready. Let me say it again. Divine healing from God. Miracles come from God, not man. So I decree tonight a divine healing. When I say divine, I mean from God. When God said a divine law, man and woman, that's from God. God ain't told two men to get married. He ain't told two women to get married. That's man did that. But it's a divine law. God said, man and woman, be fruitful and multiply. God always come to uplift the family, not break the family up. God always come to heal body, mind, soul, and spirit. I want you to receive a harvest. Thank you, kind spirit. I remember me and Kate Mapper just came from Dallas, Texas, and we stopped in a little town, and the lady said, pray for my land, Bishop. I prayed for that lady land, and when I got back to Chicago, she had a check in the mail saying, here's the seed, because this land you prayed for, I got oil on it. I want to tell you tonight, whatever you need, God got what you need, God got what you want, but you got to let go and let God. I'm praying for you. Lisa, I'm praying for you. Joe, I'm praying for you. Robert, I'm praying for you. Maurice, I'm praying for you. Tim, I'm praying for you. All is well, Lorraine. Everything going to be all right. Mary Hawkins, I'm praying for you. Reverend Darrell, I'm praying for you. Darrell Span, I'm praying for you. I want to let you know this is the year for overflow. And Mary prophesied. Mary said, this is the year for success and overflow. I don't know how she got it. I know how she got it because her mother gave it to her. This is the year for success in your life. This is the year for you to be healed. This is the year for you to move out. Like I said, move up a little higher. This is the year for you to do that. I want you to get ready for God to bless you. And, you know, I was telling you that God got a door and it's just for you. You can't let the devil take you away. You can't let the devil move you from away. I'm going to get ready tonight to talk about Dr. Martin Luther King, who wrote a letter, you know, and his letter talk about America. It talk about how America done did and how we are dope, drugs, and alcohol. I'm praying for all this evil that's going on, demonic spirits. I want you to read tonight Genesis 50, verse 21. I want everybody to read Exodus 23:20 and point your angel where you need to go. I'm talking about the $1 trillion flow. I'm talking about what God is going to give you. All is well. I want you to come into the oneness of God. Glory, hallelujah. I want you to know that all is well. You don't think so, but I know so. Exodus 14:14, step back and let God take care of your business. All you got to do is say, Lord, I surrender. Let me help you right now. Just say, Lord, I surrender all powers to you. I surrender body, mind, soul. If you said that, you saved. If you said, Lord, I surrender my body, mind, soul, and spirit to you, the devil can't get you, evil can't get you. Let me say it again. God, I surrender body, mind, soul, and spirit to you. You just sign the oral with God. You just sign a covenant with God. Body, mind, soul, and spirit. And when you sign a covenant with God, the devil got to leave his sickness, cancer, TBI. They got to leave you alone. It got to leave you because you just signed a covenant with God. Let me say it again. Body, mind, soul, and spirit, I give to you, God. I don't care what you did yesterday. Tomorrow, right now, God have put a protection, and somebody being healing in their legs. Somebody can't hardly walk. But as the night, I claim your healing. Crystal, I'm praying for you in the hospital of Geneva. I'm praying for you. God is able. Sam, I'm praying for you. Amilta, I'm praying for you. Gene, I'm praying for you. God is able to do anything before. But I want to share with you Dr. King's message, his letter. Again, some of you heard it, but every time I hear this letter, it helped me to say Dr. King was a prophet and for his time, and his letter go to the world, to America. And he, the war in Ukraine, the war in Egypt, and the war that's going to happen in Israel, uncensored war.
Translation for several days. A time has been but now I think I have it. And if in giving this letter, the content sounds strangely Kenyan rather than Paulinian, attributed to my lack of objectivity rather than Paul's lack of clarity. It is quite miraculous indeed that the Apostle Paul should be writing a letter to you and me 1900 years after his last letter appeared in the New Testament. How that is possible, I do not know. I do not really care. The important thing is that I can imagine Paul speaking to us in 1956, speaking to American Christians. Here is the letter as it stands before me. I, an apostle of Jesus Christ, through the will of God, to you who are in America, grace and peace be unto you through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I have longed to be able to come to see you. I have heard of you and what you are doing. I have heard of the fascinating and astounding advances that you have made in the scientific and the material realm. I have heard of your aeroplanes. I have heard about the fact that through your scientific genius, you have been able to walk distance and place time as change. Yes, you have been able to carve highways through the stratosphere. So in your world, you have made it possible to eat breakfast in London, England, and lunch in New York City. I have heard about your skyscraping building, with that power of keeping heavenward as it obeys antiques in the lofty blue. I have heard of your great medical science and all of your advances in the medical realm. So you have been able to cure many dread plagues and diseases, thereby to prolong your life and bring about greater security and physical well-being. All of that is wonderful. You can do things now that could not be done in the Greco-Roman world of my day. You can make journeys now in one day that it took me 3 months to make. That is wonderful. You have gone a long, long way. Material advance. But America, I am wondering, as I look at you from afar, whether or not you have gone as far in the spiritual and moral realm. Seems to me, America, that although you have advanced scientifically and materially, you lag behind spiritually and morally. Your fourth parole used to talk about improved means to an unimproved end. How often that is true, you have allowed the material means by which you live to outdistance the spiritual end for which you live. You have allowed your mentality to outrun your morality. You have allowed your civilization to outdistance your culture. Yes, America, you go very high in the spiritual realm, being in the material realm. How far have you gone in the moral realm? Through your scientific genius, you have been able to make of the world a neighborhood. But through your moral and spiritual genius, you have failed to make of it a brotherhood. What does it profit a man? That same Lord said, that same Lord that met me on the Damascus Road, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world with means, aeroplanes, subways, all the skyscraping buildings and lose the end, the soul? So, America, I would urge you to seek to bring your spiritual advances up to your material advances. I am impelled also to write you concerning the tremendous responsibilities confronting Christians attempting to live in a sub-Christian age. Yes, I have to do that. For I have to live in an un-Christian world. Every Christian has a basic responsibility to live a Christian in an un-Christian world. They tell me that there are some among you, even in the churches, who give that ultimate allegiance to the patterns of the world. They want to be accepted socially. They are not afraid to be ostracized, so they conform to the patterns of the world. They live by some such philosophy as this. Everybody is doing it, so it must be all right. So often in your age, right has become merely something of taking a gallop poll of the majority of people. How many are living like that? How many people are giving their ultimate allegiance to this way? But America, may I say to you, as I said to the Roman church, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. May I also say to you that you have a dual citizen. You have a twofold citizen. You are not only a citizen of this world, but you are a citizen of another world. You live both in time and eternity, both in heaven and earth. You must come to see that although it is true that you live now in the colony of time, you must always take your orders from the empire of eternity. You must come to see that, America, that your ultimate allegiance is not to the government, not to the state, not to the nation, but your ultimate allegiance is to God, and sometimes it's necessary to be, to speak out against the state in order to stand up with God. Oh, America, will you come to see this? But not only that, America, I have read some of your psychology. I hear you talking a great deal about maladjustment. It is the ringing cry of a child psychologist, maladjustment. Certainly nobody wants to be maladjusted. Everybody wants to be adjusted. But America, I want to call upon you, if you're going to be followers of Christ, to be maladjusted. I never intend, America, to adjust myself to some things, and I hope you will never adjust to it. In an age amazingly adjusted to war, I call upon you to be maladjusted. In an age amazingly adjusted to imperialism and colonialism, I call upon you to be maladjusted. In an age amazingly adjusted to hate and malice, I call upon you to be maladjusted. My plea to you in America is to be maladjusted. I understand that you have a great economic system in America that you call capitalism. Through that economic system, you have been able to do one. You have been able to build up the richest nation in the world. Through that system, you have been able to build up the greatest productive system that the world has ever known. All of that's fine. But America, that is the danger that you will misuse your capitalism. I'm not an economist, and I cannot criticize your economic system from the point of view of the economist, but I can criticize it from a moral point of view. And I still contend, America, that money can be the root of all evil. Money can lead one to live a life of gross materialism. And I'm worried that too many people in America are more concerned about making a living than making a life. Yes, America, money can lead to exploitation. So often you have done that. For they tell me that 1/10 of 1% of the population controls more than 50% of the wealth. Oh, America, how you take the necessities from the bathroom to give luxury to the class. Your capitalism can be used very well. You can use it to wipe poverty from the face of the earth. You can use it to lift the whole level of humanity. You can lift it to make mankind come to the point that it is destined to come to. Your wealth can be used to a noble end. You have it at your disposal. Use it for that merit. Oh, I would that I could be with you. I would that I could say to you face to face what I'm trying to say to you in writing. How I long to be with you. But let me rush on and say something about the church. I'm going to say to you once more, as I have said so often before, that the church is the body of Christ. In the body of Christ, there can be no division. The body of Christ, there can be no disunity. But I am disturbed about America and what is happening now concerning the body of Christ. They tell me that in America you have within Protestantism more than 256 denominations. And the tragedy, America, is not so much that you have more than 256 denominations, but the fact that all of these denominations are warring against each other, trying to make it appear that they have the only truth. Oh, this narrow sectarianism, this narrow denominationalism, is destroying the unity of the church. America, you must come to see that God is not a Baptist, that God is not a Methodist, that God is not an Episcopalian. God is bigger than any of our denominations. You must come to see, America, that all of this is man-made. But even if I look at Roman Catholicism, I'm disturbed about that, because it stands out also with an arrogance which becomes a spiritual arrogance, making the world appear that it has the only truth, standing with its noble folk almost taking the place of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so when he speaks ex cathedra, he becomes infallible. I'm disturbed about any earthly creation that tends to claim infallibility. I'm disturbed about any church that refuses to cooperate with other churches with the pretense that it is the only true church. That is so much in the church that is destroying the body of Christ. And in the body of Christ, there can be no division. and no disunity. But America, another thing disturbs me about your church. You have a Negro church. You have a white church. Oh, America, that is quite disturbing, for that cannot exist within the true body of Christ. How did that thing ever get into being anyway? You have allowed segregation to come into the church, America. Oh, how tragic. When you stand up on Sunday morning to sing, "In Christ there is no east or west," isn't it tragic that you stand in the most segregated hour of your Christian nation? They tell me that is more integration in sports arenas and nightclubs. That is in the Christian church. Oh, how tragic that is. Out of calling, that is. They tell me that there are even Christians among you who try to justify segregation on the basis of the Bible. They try to argue that the Negro is inferior by nature because of Noah's curse upon the children of Ham. Oh, my friends, old America, this is blasphemy. This is against everything that the Christian religion stands for. This is against the will of the Almighty God. In America, I would urge you to get rid of that something called segregation. It is a dangerous evil. It is an evil which must be wiped over the face of the earth if man is ever to come to his full maturity. America, don't compromise with it. Don't play with it. Oh, I praise your Supreme Court for passing a great decision just a year or two ago. I pray all men in your nation of goodwill who are willing to follow it. But they tell me you still have some troubles among you in Alabama, and Mississippi, and Georgia, and Louisiana, and Florida, who would make their legislative calls ring loud with the words interposition and nullification. They have lost the true meaning of democracy and Christianity. And I would urge you to plead with your brothers with patience and understanding, goodwill, and tell them that this isn't the way. May I say just a word to those of you who are struggling against this evil? Let me say to you to always struggle against it with Christian methods and with Christian weapons. Never succumb to the temptation of becoming bitter. Never succumb to the temptation of indulging in hate campaigns. You must at all moments move with wise restraint and calm reasonableness. Keep pressing on, but press on with discipline and dignity, and use only the weapon of love, and let no man push you so low as to hate him. Look at your oppressor hard enough to see in him something of God in it. Yes, it might be just a spark, but if you work on it long enough, it can develop into a leaping flame. So I would say to those of you who are warring and struggling against your oppression, to use Christian methods and Christian weapons and let him know that as you struggle, you are not attempting to defeat him, not attempting to humiliate him, not attempting to get rid of him or to pay him back. Let him know that you are seeking to help him as well as yourself. Let him know that the festering sword of segregation debilitates the white man as well as the Negro. Let him know that as you seek to rid the earth of this evil of segregation, you are seeking to help him also. Give that message all over the world and live by that principle and get rid of that something called segregation, America. For it is not only rationally inexplicable, but it is morally scandalous. You must get rid of it if you are to be a Christian nation. Yes, America, I realize some of you will give your lives to this something. There will be white people of goodwill who will do it, and there will be Negroes who will struggle to get rid of it. But I want to say this to you, that as you struggle, don't despair. Realize that whenever you stand up for right and righteousness, whenever you stand up for truth, whenever you stand up for goodness, you will be persecuted, but don't despair about it. Sometimes it might mean going to jail, but if that is the case, be willing to fill up the jail, because I had to go to jail. It might even mean physical death. This physical death is the price that some have paid to free their children from a life of permanent psychological death. Then nothing could be more honorable. Don't worry about the persecutions, America. You are going to have that if you stand up for truth and goodness. Oh, that happened throughout my life. As soon as I was converted, I was denied by the disciples at Jerusalem. Then I was laid aside for heresy at Jerusalem. Yes, I was beaten at Thessalonica. I was mobbed at Ephesus. I was jailed at Philippi, and I went down to Athens, and I was depressed there. Yes, I was even shipwrecked in Malta, but I'm still going. And I still believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the only hope of the world. I still believe that in standing up for the gospel of Jesus, nothing in the world is greater. This is the end of life. This is the end of the universe. The end of the universe is not to be happy. The end is not to avoid suffering, but the end of life is to do the will of God, come what may. Oh, America, will you hear that and will you follow that before it is too late? Then I must say one other thing. You know, I said to the church at Corinth that love is the principal thing, and I want to still say that to America. America, I want you to know that you might move high in the world. You might come to the point that you are mighty eloquent in your speech. You might master the English language. All of your grammar might be perfect. You might move high. You might move with all of the eloquence of an articulate speech. I want you to realize, America, that it is still true that even if you can speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, you are become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Yes, America, you may have the gift of prophecy so that you can understand all mysteries. You may have scientific insight so that you can break out into the storehouse of nature. Yes, you might have all of the mysteries and understanding so that you can remove the mountains of material obstacles. You may move all of the mountains that stand before you. But unless you have love, it means nothing. But even more, America, you may give your goods to feed the poor. You might have power high in philanthropy. You may give great gifts to the United States. You may give great gifts to your colleges and your universities. You may give big money. But if you have not love, it means nothing. Yes, and you may even give your body to be burned. You may even stand up and die life as a monk. You may stand before the universe as that honorable person who was willing to stand up as a monk. But even if you do that and you have no love, it means nothing. Yes, America, it is impossible to be selfish sinner in one's denial and self-righteous and self-righteous. It is possible for one to be generous in order to feed his ego, and it is possible for one to be pious in order to feed his pride. So man has the tragic capacity of being able to make a heightening vice to a tragic, a heightening pressure to a tragic vice. Yes, even if you give your goods to feed the poor, have not love, it means nothing. You may build all of your great institutions. You may have all knowledge. You may build your great Harvard and your great Yale. You may have all of your institutions of learning and all of your PhDs and MAs and ABs. But if you have not love, America, it means nothing. I still want you to know that love is the principal thing in the universe. I want you to know that at the center of life stands love, and that it is the most durable in the world. If you follow that, America, you will build a great nation. I must get ready to leave now. Timothy Clinton to deliver this letter, and I must take leave to go to another church. But just before leaving, let me say this to you, America. I said a lot to you about loving. I said a lot to you about being moral and living noble principles. And I know that you often try to do that. But I want to say something to you about the meaning of the gospel. In trying to live up to the high and noble principles of this religion, you often fall short. And I know how you felt sometimes. You tried to live up to it and you didn't quite make it. Sometimes you felt that you could do it alone, but the more you tried, the more you discovered that you couldn't do it alone. And I know how you were caught up in the tragic dimensions of sin, both individual and collective. I see how, as you live life on every level of your life, one is confronted with sin, and sometimes you have to cry out, as I have to cry out, the good that I would I do not, and the evil that I would not that I do. Then as you try to follow the law of love, you find yourself saying, oh, wretched man that I am. You discover somehow that the more you try, the more you discover that you can't do it alone. No, you end up in despair. You end up in a tragic state. You feel that you have lost out. Yes, I have been like that. When I came to that point, when I came to the point of feeling that I couldn't make it alone, and I came to the point of realizing that I was too weak to make it, I discovered something else. I reached out and saw breaking out of eternity into time, the powerful dimensions of God's grace. Where sin abounded, grace abounded even more exceedingly. So I want to say to you, America, reach out. If you reach far enough, you will discover God's grace. It is that grace that can lift you from the fatigue of despair to the buoyancy of hope.